It is Monday the 4th of April. This is episode 82 of Digital Outbox. Hello and welcome to another episode on this fine evening. I am joined today by Ian.
Hello.
How are we feeling, Ian?
A little bit odd.
Now, it's only fair that we should let our dear listeners know that I've got a cold and Ian is a little bit spaced out on headache drugs.
I'm on some new medication and it's made me feel a little bit happy.
I would say vacant would be a good description currently.
Today is actually one of the worst work days ever.
Yes. Well, so this podcast could go anyway. We've actually only got a few stories, which is probably a good thing because it might mean it's over quicker. But let's see what happens when we wind Ian up and let's crack on. Let's crack on with the news. Let's first start with WWDC, which has been announced for the 6th to 10th of June. So this is Apple's developer conference. Not surprisingly, sold out very quickly. I guess more surprising, it only took 10 hours this time round, whereas it took a whole 8 days before. So all these conferences, it seems, are just bonkers. You've got to get on the ball pretty quick to get it.
Yeah, there's quite a few tweets from developers who were flying at the time. And hence missed out. But Apple don't tie up your ticket to your purchase, as in like you have to turn up. So there's been quite a lot of eBay activity. So I think a lot of people were buying it and sticking it up in eBay, which is quite nasty.
It just says.
Shows how rockstar it is to go and be a developer right now.
To be a developer at an Apple conference. But then again, everyone just expects to get free stuff now, don't they? Turn up to these things.
Not Apple. Apple have never given anything away.
Have they not?
No, I don't think they've ever.
They don't need to, because I was going to swear that all the people that turn up have already got all the stuff anyway. So what would be the point? So what are they going to cover at this one?
It looks like it's all software. So they've already said the focus is on iOS and Mac OS X.
Which, to be honest, I don't know what your feelings are.
I've said OS X, it's OS X. Sorry, Henry.
if that's the worst you come up with today, that's fine. Software is the cool and funky thing about Apple at the moment, really. I mean, I know they make very good devices, but then they've done that all along, really. And as we've seen with Apple, you know, the iPad 2, the device is great and it's nice and sexy and all that, but at the end of the day, it's not that dissimilar to an iPad 1. And software is the bit that actually defines these pieces of hardware and where we see all the development. And actually, it's more exciting when you get a software release than it is when you get a hardware release.
Not only that, you tend to get a new bit of software. It just kind of pick up the old hardware as well. You know, you get some new features and you feel you get it for free. It's like nice.
It's not that often that a new bit of the software needs a bit of hardware to go along with it. I mean, that does happen, obviously. And if you fall a couple of iterations behind, then you do start losing out.
So everybody's expecting iOS 5. They don't think that's going to happen, you know, April, May time, as some people are expecting, that they'll actually be part of WWDC. Much of the reason behind that is the hardware looks to be more September for an iPhone rather than the June launch.
That would disappoint a lot of people.
Well, I think so. Obviously, it's getting managed by a lot of the fanboys by saying, "Oh no, that's all fine," but everybody expects a June launch for the phone. Lion's also getting heavily talked around, and I think they reckon that the next week or two they might be the first Gold Master.
Well, Lion's been in the kind of release channel for a long time, hasn't it? For developers,
the second release was only last week. So although it was been out, there's been a big gap between that first release and a whole load of bug fixes, and including the most horrible calendar update ever.
They've put a faux leather effect onto their application. Was that on
nasty.
April the 1st? are we being caught out by something else?
It was just, it just looked
ugly.
And Apple usually nice, like elegant. No, it's like just the nastiest thing ever.
It reminds me of Windows applications when, you know, Windows is still quite new and people were looking to make their applications more jazzy.
Absolutely. So a lot of expectation around Lion, but again, it seems to have swayed away from it or launched to actually be a proper, you know, it's coming out in maybe 6 weeks. They'll actually have a release date, or it'll come out in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. They don't expect it to launch at the show, but it would mean quite a flat show. You know, it'd just be all software previews.
See, now I think that's going to make a more interesting show. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it, how different people have different expectations? But I think seeing a new iOS 5 preview, which I think probably will be there, and the line, they're obviously going to concentrate on telling. I mean, we haven't had anything on OS 10 for ages. You know, it's gone quiet.
Yeah, but it depends how revolutionary some of these features are. You know, there's a lot of posts at the moment. The things that iOS needs to bring. You know, the sort of top, you know, 5 things or 10 things, just because it has fallen behind, you know, even in perception with Android. I think a lot of people are saying it has to deliver, and, you know, it has to deliver a lot of cloud features that people now want. You know, why can't I? Why do I have to tether? Why do I have to go to iTunes? People are seeing that there is a difference, and it's out there, and it's actually on hardware that's potentially cheaper as well.
Yep, so... my tip would be, yeah, I think we're going to see it's going to concentrate mainly on OS 10 and the new and Lion. I don't think there will be very much hardware, but then we'll have the iOS 5 preview. That would be my take on it, just based on what they haven't covered recently, really. And say if the hardware of the phone is delayed till towards the end or autumn time, I guess. Ignore my advice on waiting to get a phone; just get one now. There's no point waiting that long.
And there's some other talk around it. The reason they're doing it is to try and tie up with, you know, maybe some of the 4G launches in America, you know, this year. And who knows? Who knows?
Okay, so next story then today is that Amazon have released a cloud drive and cloud player ahead of, well, jumping Apple and Google and pretty much everyone else, actually. So this is a cloud drive that enables you to put up your music, whether that be upload or if you buy through Amazon MP3, they automatically upload it into your cloud drive. It doesn't cost very much. It's about $1 a gigabyte, it seems, to store your music up there. And you pay yearly. And then it's available via their cloud player. Through websites, I believe, at the moment, to get access to all your music wherever you are.
Yep. So the drive itself, it's $20 for a year, or if you buy one Amazon MP3 album, they'll instead of giving you 5 gig for free, they'll give you 20 gig for free. So it's quite a nice deal. But you can have 50 gig for $50, 100 gig for $100. It's all in America at the moment.
Oh, there you go. So you've got free options to start with, and then you can ramp it up if you have that much music.
You can go to 1 terabyte for $1,000 a year.
And I think there are hints to say that there is obviously you can store other things. You can store files up there.
You can anything
you can
at all.
Video.
So HD video, you know, documents, all sorts, photos. It's all applicable.
So.
The only thing about MP3s is they're saying it has to be DRM-free.
Right, so I guess that's so it can play through their player. And to be honest, that's how you want your MP3s, isn't it?
Yep, but I guess the interesting thing from the music company's point of view is they're asking, well, hold on, have you got actual licenses to hold that content? And Amazon are playing a very... what's the statement? We don't need a license to store music. Functionality is the same as external hard drive. So that's the way Amazon are playing it. I think it's a kind of ballsy move because I think this is what stopped Google and Apple. They're obviously trying to do the let's get the music companies on board, and Amazon have just said, sod it, you want to put your music up there, crack on.
And from a user's point of view, it is no different from an external file. As long as their security is robust enough that it's almost like having a file in, you know, a drive in your home, which cloud services should be like that default.
Dropbox lets me do that.
Yeah, so I was going to say, it is only the same as Dropbox and all those other services. It's so there isn't a reason other than this is a big release and the music industry are generally scared of things like this anyway. I guess if Amazon can prove that it is secure, then they can't really have an argument against it without stopping all off-site file backup, which is obviously ridiculous.
No. So as you had mentioned, there's an actual web-based player, but also the Android cloud player is built into the Amazon MP3 app. So if you've got your Amazon MP3 app on your Android phone, it'll play from there. And it works very well. I've seen a video demo of it. Looked lovely. Interestingly, the web support doesn't work on an iOS device. And there's been lots of rumour about why that is. Because it's
what juicy rumour it can be, because they've had a little spat recently, haven't they?
They've had a spat, and there's Amazon aren't for saying why they've not got a player on iOS. There's some rumours swirling around that it's Apple actually stopping it from being released. And at the same time, Amazon, who knows, are they doing this deliberately? Because they're actually blocking a mobile version of Safari. So you can still do it, but it's downloading the file into Safari's built-in player. So it's not a very seamless way of working. And there's another workaround that Mashable published. You use an application called iCab, which is another browser you can download for your iOS device. And in there, you can say, actually, I want to be an Internet Explorer 8. You know, and you know how you've got your... Right. Your identity tags that says what browser you're coming from. So instead of it coming from a mobile Safari, it's coming from Internet Explorer 8, and all of a sudden it works. So
we don't know where the block's coming from, but it does look like a block has been put in. There was the talking between Amazon that nothing got resolved on that subscription front, did it? That's one thing. Maybe this is part of that.
I just see this more and more as there's going to be an Android tablet. There's no way there's not going to be.
No. I mean, and to be honest, it's within... If Apple are going to release something like this soon anyway, it's right within their, I guess, business model to block something that's jumped in ahead of them, basically. Otherwise, they risk, you know, all their device users going to this new service before they've got a chance to put theirs out there.
Well, there's lots of talk it was going to be the fall for Apple, and it was going to be... When's Google I.O. conference? I think it's late May or mid-May. So there was talk around it was going to launch there, but, you know, who knows? It's just all rumour. Mm. Rumour, rumour, rumour.
Rumour, rumour, rumour. But interestingly, gossipy rumour.
Yeah.
We have had O2 this week changing the way they tariff their phones.
Please don't ask me to explain this.
I'll save you, but I'm probably not going to explain it very well either. But effectively, they're kind of doing the Sky model of offering your own bundle of different aspects. So you get your text bundle and you get your phone calling bundle, and then you get your data bundle, and you can choose the balance of those calls. It's not sort of predefined, and each level of each of those aspects in that kind of grid way is priced individually, so you can see up front exactly what you have to pay for. And they've removed the tethering costs, so if you want to tether your device to
So yes, that they're saying it's no longer a cost. So up until
you used to have to pay £7.65 extra.
So it was like one of these bolt-ons that you had to pay for. Yeah. But I want a Simplicity contract for £15 a month. Shaki was in a Simplicity contract for £15 a month. The cheapest Simplicity deal he can now get, which has tethering and has some data content, is £21. So it's not exactly... Right. They're saying that they're throwing in...
So what they've done is they've taken away a cost. It's like your tax cuts, which actually end up hitting you harder somewhere else.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I mean, they have added in... That, I mean, one of the things that they took out was the... what are they called? The multimedia messaging. That had come out of the Simplicity bundle, but that's now added back in. So I think Shaq's got 20 or 40 MMSs a month. So there is some extra value in there.
How often do you use MMSs? I think I've probably sent about 3 in my life.
Yeah, he sends about 3 a week.
Oh, okay.
I won't tell you why.
Horses for courses.
Oh, use your imagination. Anyway.
What?
that's the first random bit of the night.
I'm trying not to. But you did just sing on the podcast, which is fabulous. Right. Well, I love the way that, I love their wording.
Oh, God, there was one other change. They've introduced 12-month contracts.
Ah, yes. So it, as in response to user requests, which is, as I would say, a very high user request, which is 12-month contracts, please, because we can't wait 18 months.
But you still have to pay your 18 months. So it's same money you spend. So all it is if you want to get out after 12 months, you can, because I understand the users want it.
And that's pretty much how I was working with T-Mobile when I was looking through recently for all my tariffs. It's pretty much the same cost. But basically you can, after 12 months, you can upgrade. Which is probably realistic, seeing as most of the cost is not the cost of calls and stuff. It's the cost of the handset, and they have to cover that. I love the wording of all this, which is trying to make 1 gigabyte sound like a really heavy use case for their data. So when 1 gigabyte to most people actually doesn't sound like a terrible amount of data.
No.
But that is the highest amount you can get. I think you can top it up, but that will cost you extra 10
Shaquille
quid.
Got some crazy stuff from O2 on the phone when he swapped over. Because he signed up for 500 meg, but they says, don't worry, that's not a limit. And he's like, what? He says, well, he says, you can go over it. And he's like, but surely I need to pay more. And he went, no. He said, if you go massively over it, then we'll throttle you, but we won't turn it off.
Right.
And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, but why doesn't everybody then just buy 100 meg? Because you would just drift over the 100 and just keep on going. So I think there must be a, you know, if you're round about 500, it's fine. And if you're starting to go straight over it a lot, they'll throttle you back. But
And that sounds like a sensible thing. Don't make it a draconian 500 megabyte cutoff, but if someone's using a gig each month when they only signed up for 500, then they should be charged extra. I keep realizing I'm sniffing. You'll have to just put up with me.
That's a story of my life.
You're doing very well, Ian. You're holding together. you're holding together.
I'm in bits, but apart from that.
You did have one bit where you strayed off mic a little bit, but, you know, we'll let you get away with that one. Yeah.
Oh,
there was a text message that distracted you.
Yeah, I usually ignore them, but for some reason it's just like, yeah, I'll go and do it.
I don't know the listener's notes, but basically this is what it sounded like. Yeah, there was a text message in the background and then you went a bit like that. And then eventually came back.
Class.
Anyway, but you're doing very well, so let's keep cracking on. We're probably about halfway through.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. So Google have announced Google Plus One, which I think you can pretty much call it Google's like button, which they are going to roll out and are rolling out right now.
If you go to, I think it's google.com/experimental.
Yeah.
And you can sign up for it.
And Plus Ones are added to search results. And it's effectively their social way of saying, I like this result, or I agree with this result being from my search and stuff like that. And your friends can see that data being, so basically they can see when friends have liked search results that have come back. So it's effectively another parameter which allows Google to understand what makes a good result for your search that you typed in. As a social bit, and they will be rolling it out across websites as well, just like the Facebook like button you've seen is.
Pretty much.
No, yeah.
No, it kind of reminds me of Dig in some ways. It's almost like you digging up. And they have started talking about how they will use it as a signal, so that if you plus one sites, then that will tend to promote that site's content within your search results. But I think they're still playing with the how popular will it be and how useful will it be, and how do they, if you plus one something, should it affect my search results? Because
you're my friend. I don't want to see what you're searching for.
No, because I could be friends with lots of people, but, you know, if they all like, I don't know, think of something random. If they all like Coronation Street and they start plus one in Coronation Street, and I don't want to see stuff like that in my search results.
No, and that's the problem with all these kind of, yeah, that's the problem with all these kind of social elements, is that sometimes you get the most interest out of things that aren't within your normal sphere of things you're looking at. That's probably a really hard thing to balance off in reality.
I'm all for being able to, I think, take out things you don't want to see. But I think by promoting things, you could maybe lose content as you know, the content being thrown up on the web is just constantly changing. And I don't know if I like the fact that it would maybe start to use this as a stronger signal, you know.
Yeah, but then it's a good signal because it's not, you know, it's actual people. Again, people will probably learn a way of duping it. They'll have bot networks, which plus one across the whole time.
Well, it's the same as a like button, people. Isn't it? You know, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It can be duped.
I mean, likes turn... Yeah, it can be duped, but it's actually fairly solid bit of technology, I think. Anyway, so it's an interesting one. But as I said, I think the reason the like buttons work so well is because everyone is linked together with all their people they know and all their kind of likes and dislikes on Facebook. People aren't linked together in the same way on Google's platform. I know lots of people have Google accounts due to all the services they offer, but not in the same way that Facebook.
No.
You know, my aunt's not going to have a Google account that she's linked together with all her friends, whereas she will have a Facebook account.
And she won't know where her Google profile is and won't know that plus one results are coming up there and appearing there. It still feels a very geek. Google almost strikes me as the stuff they roll out is just very geeky, and you can see all the Googlers testing it and thinking it's great. But they're in such a closed environment compared to the real world. You know, but
it's the kind of environment that people like us kind of like.
We're not normal.
I guess they like it as well.
We're not normal.
And they're not, but then again, everyone uses their technology, even, you know, they don't really realise it.
Oh, no, absolutely.
They move things on in a way that very few other companies do. So interesting. We'll see how it goes. One of the most exciting things, I guess, if you're a radio listener, is Radio Player that's been released. Take it away.
Oh, thanks. I wasn't quite sure. I was like, is that a cue? Or do I sit and wait? Do I sit and wait for the grid?
And then, you were looking blank. Sorry.
So Radio Player is almost like an iPlayer for radio. It's BBC backed. It launched last week. But not only is it just the BBC stations, but they're trying to get all commercial stations in the UK available from the one website. So you can go to radioplayer.co.uk. There's 140 commercial stations available at the moment, but I think they were talking about by the end of this week there'll be over 200. So it's a fairly aggressive ramp up. And the nice thing is you can search by, you know, topic, presenter, location, offer a station name, and it's all there, and it works really easily, really well.
Yeah, and you can tell it's built on, I'm making a bit of an assumption, but I think I remember hearing that it was built on iPlayer technology, and it was BBC's way of saying we're spending the licence money in a good way, because it's for the benefit of everyone, because there was quite a lot of industry reticence for the fact that they had all this money to spend on these technologies. But anyway, they're now open and available for all these other stations, and they can even choose to have on-demand content if they want to. They probably have individual stations have licensing issues with around some of these things.
Just you
so
wait.
Not everyone's going to have it.
Just you wait until Sunny Govan Radio makes an appearance in Radio Player.
It's going to make it. What
don't
do you say to
there.
That?
Not exactly. Sunny Govan.
But no, it's great bit of technology. It works well, looks good. What more can you say? What more can you say? Let's not say any more on that. What we will say on the next story, on our ongoing saga of the Times paywall, the New York Times paywall, and basically, so the awful amount of money they've spent on this is, should clarify, this is a story from Brian that we've only just picked up on, but it is quite good that they spent $40 million on a solution to stop you looking at stories after you've viewed 20 in 1 month. And it turns out they've spent $40 million on not very much, it seems.
Nope.
It doesn't work, is the outcome of it, really.
Nope. So you can circumvent it by unhiding one CSS style or applying some clever JavaScript, which isn't very clever, or by removing a little blurb from the URL. And there's many other ways as well.
So basically, they've spent $40 million on basically saying display colon none semicolon in the CSS is pretty much the extent of it. And the way they count it is done inside each browser and also in the URL. So it's pretty easy to see.
That is rubbish.
what basically, you can actually change your browser. So if you've got, say, 5-6 browsers installed, which someone like I do have regularly because of my testing, you can actually view you know, hundreds of stories every month if you chose to. So rather than...
Well, this was the big question. Remember, you had Rupert running around saying Google's a thief. And yes. would they be bold enough to, you know, to take their content away from Google's indexes?
And if when not, when it came to the crunch, this is why it's all a bit of a, well, a fudge.
I thought the Times hasn't it? I thought the Times has.
So the Times is hidden away, is it? I don't know.
I thought the Times had made that bold move, but I think it was maybe a step too far.
So yeah, so it's basically, it's fudged so that Google can still see it, which means it's all in the code in the background. And if you're a tiny bit clued up, you can just take away the style and show it again on the page. So that's $40 million well spent.
Well done. Oh, I was choked. Do you know what
Excuse
I mean?
Me.
Well done, Rupert. Well done.
And we are already on to our picks. This could be a record today.
Well, it is because you have no picks.
Yep, so I haven't got one, but Ian has got one.
Yep, if you've got an iPad, this is an essential game. It's Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery. I've still not pronounced that, typed that right. I had about five goes at typing that.
It does look a bit tricky. It's got a lot of SWs in there.
Yep, so swordandsorcery.com. It was talked about maybe 6-8 weeks ago. It's a kind of old-style graphic adventure. You need to see the screenshots and see it actually moving to play it. I just think it's the design's lovely, the story's great, and the soundtrack is immense. But even the way it plays, you do the first 15-20 minute adventure and it says, I think you've had enough now, come back later, please. You know, and it kind of closes down, and it's just so well packaged and so well thought through. And it's only, it's buttons. I'm sure it was only like £2 or something, you know, and it's just great. So that's it.
Is that
iPad.
Just an iPhone?
Just an iPad? I think so, but I think an iPhone one is coming out in a few weeks' time. I think they're focused on the iPad just because of the screen size and the detail and the graphic. But it's lovely. Lovely.
There you go. A recommended application then from us.
Buy it.
That is incredible. If we're quick, we can get this done within half an hour. Amazing. So... all that is left for me to say in the next 2.5 minutes is that you can find out more about us at www.digitaloutbox.com. You can email us info@digitaloutbox.com, and we are on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. If you want to find out more about Ian and his how he's getting on with his new medication, you can do that
at iand.net, where there'll be a post about certain drug-induced kind of states today, and also a little chat about my 22-mile walk on Friday, hopefully.
I congratulations on even attempting it. You're a brave man. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK, and thanks for listening.
I'll be on Twitter as Sweeper as well, which I know is a bit random, but yeah, I forgot about that.
You are on Twitter as Sweeper, indeed. Well done. You've got to the end.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. That was all right. Well done. Am I patronising you enough yet?
I feel so stressed.
You talked at rocket speed in the middle of that. It's quite amazing.
Did I? Yeah.
So. Your words per minute went up to 100.
I did turn. I spent the day, most of the day spurting, to be honest. There was kind of days that did like half hours of like being like a sloth. And then, like, I must do some work.
You're more complex mentis through all that than you were at the beginning, I tell you that. You must have focused your mind.
You've always got to turn up, haven't you? What a knob.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. Let's go and kick some French butt.
Let's do it.